36 hours later, I'm not sure we can still believe it. It was the shot heard around the country from Jack McVay, and it has given Tassie the edge in the Championship Series. Game 4 is 2 days away, so we'll cast an eye on all that's still to come. This is NBL Now on Tuesday, March 25, and man, what a 36 hours in the NBL and in Australian sport more broadly. The NBL's been absolutely everywhere, which is a great thing, and with good reason, as this extraordinary season just continues to deliver. Liam Santamaria, a very good morning to you. How's your recovery been since all that went down?
Yeah, good morning, Joel. My head is still shaking, spinning, whatever you want to call it. I'm still recovering from that moment. I went to sleep last night still thinking about that Jack McVay shot, still watching it over and over from all the different angles. And I woke up this morning continuing to think about it. I think I might have dreamt about it last night at times as well. It was an unbelievable moment, and I don't think it's, I think it's something that all of us who watched it live will never forget.
Yeah, I agree, and I don't think you were the only one. I reckon there's a few people located slightly south of us that that might have been in that basket with you, dreaming about the shot. So where were you? What was your reaction as you're unfolding? Take us into the mind of Liam Santamaria as all this is happening.
I love that question, because it was a where were you type of moment, wasn't it? I was sitting in a box with my wife, just behind the Jack Jumpers bench, right in amongst the Jack Jumper cheer squad, essentially. Just a couple of seats in front of us was Scott Roth's wife and his daughter, his beautiful family. And it was, to borrow a line from the great Andrew Mulligan, it was pandemonium. I mean, it was absolute scenes in that section. And we had a great view. We were right on top of the turnover. I couldn't believe Milton Doyle was saving it. I thought he should have let it go. But now, after the fact, I completely understand. And they were able to catch him on the hop. And, I mean, it was just, it was crazy where I was. I was in the craziest part of the crowd in that moment. And I think that made it kind of extra special for me. Where were you? How did you watch it?
So I'd been at the Grand Prix earlier in the day, and we got home and had organised dinner and sort of sat down and sort of, righto, we'll watch the second half of this. And me and Kez, so my wife's played professional basketball, knows a lot more about it than me, but my immediate reaction was, oh, Milton Doyle, what have you done? Why have you kept that ball alive? I just couldn't believe that he had even kept it alive. And then it went to McVay, and Kez and I both stood up off the couch, like instantaneously, as he's put this shot up before it's even gone down. No dog in the fight, mind you. Mm-hmm. We've stood up off the couch. And then the shot's gone down and I just collapsed into the couch. I think we both frightened the life out of the dogs, who generally sort of sit and watch the TV right next to us. But yeah, it was just, it was extraordinary. So much so that I don't know about you. I missed the subsequent inbound and I was just sort of going, oh, they flooded the court here. Did they inbound the ball? I never even saw it, didn't see it, wasn't looking, just head in my hands going, what has just happened?
Yeah, same for me, because when Jack McVay hit the shot, he turned and he looked up, but then he looked over towards his bench, which was in the direction of where I was watching the game. So I was just mesmerized watching Jack McVay. Cold-blooded reaction, cool as a cucumber. Not only was it a Dame Lillard-type shot, in the way that he pulled up just beyond halfway, Paul George would say it was a bad shot, but it was a Dame Lillard-type like celebration and reaction, chatting with Corey Homicide Williams post game. And we were watching it back and he was like, look at him in amongst everyone going crazy. It's like Dame looking at the camera. It was incredible. And I think a lot of Jack Jumper fans will have had the same type of experience as you. Their story about where they were will evolve around the lounge room and the couch, because of course it was on the road. And I'm sure a lot of them can relate to what you were experiencing.
It was a cool moment, I think, no matter where you were. And I mean, you think about Jack McVay and it just his continued rise. So he did it obviously in Cairns earlier this season. But I remember calling Adelaide 36ers games when he was basically a kid, sort of coming in and he'd give them 10 minutes of energy and he'd come out in his fluoro shoes and bounce around the place and he was a great character and you thought, oh, you know, there's something here, but his minutes were limited and he'd sort of you know, occasionally take plays off, and then he comes to Tassie and he sort of steps up and you go, oh yeah, you know, they've really got something here. And then last year he improves again, and then this year, I mean, now to have the confidence to do what he did in that moment, that level, that rise, is it's pretty remarkable.
It's fantastic, isn't it? Joey Wright, big shout out to him. You know, he reposted last night a video that Jack put out a little while ago about something that Joey told him that set him straight to say, you know, and he asked him what he wanted to be, and he said he wanted to be the best player in Australia. And he said, well, do you work harder than everybody else in Australia? And he kind of, it was a reality check moment for Jack. And then, you know, I mean, I keep referencing this. I referenced it in a video that we put out a couple of seasons ago, that Jack looks himself in the mirror each day and says, I hit big shots. I mean, just positive self-talk and affirmation, and then the manifestation of it coming true time and time again with him. And as I rewatch the play time and time again, he looks like he's in the eye of the storm in that big moment, in a situation where others would lose their head. And some people say that might say he did lose his head, because the percentage play would have been to attack and put pressure on the rim and the defense and the refs. But he just looked like his head was on a swivel. He looked up at the clock. He could see what was ahead. He crossed it between his legs, rocked into a rhythm pull-up three. And the comment he made today about something along the lines of when the ball landed in his hands after Mildred saved it, he thought, yes, I get to take this shot. It's just fantastic. And, you know, you just love to see him succeed the way he is.
Yeah, it might be confirmation bias, but the thing that stood out to me watching it back was as he crosses half court, you just get the sense that, especially watching it back, not at the time, I thought, oh my God, Jack, what have you done? But yeah. But watching it back subsequently, you go like, oh, he knew what he was doing. Like
the whole way.
Yeah, 100%.
It looks like, and this is maybe overly dramatic, but it just looks like to Jack, there's nobody else on the planet in that moment, just him. His sneakers, the ball, the rim, and he was like, I was made for this moment and I'm about to just capture it.
It was magic. And it was a great 10 minutes or so of TV. So obviously our man Jack Everin nailed the call. John Casey captures just the emotion, the energy, the adrenaline. You put it off air just before perfectly, Liam, that just the adrenaline of the post-game moment. And then Nerilee Meadows with Majuk Deng. Scott Roth sidles up alongside, and you know, we're working to pretty tight time frames in TV here. A bit of inside baseball. Quite often the producer will be in the ear of our sideline reporter saying, you know, wrap it up, we've got to go to a break. And Ness just fires a couple of questions at Scott Roth, and it only adds to the whole drama and energy and excitement of the moment. It was an extraordinary 10 minutes or so of TV when, you know, the last minute or so before that, you know, Golding makes a massive three, and this game just wildly ebbed and flowed.
Big plays. Delhi, huge three. Big go-ahead bucket at the rim. He goes from the hero, and then moments later he's the GOAT as he throws the turnover and has the game-winning shot drilled in his eye. And you know what's amazing about it? It wasn't the end of the series. It wasn't a Kine Bekwe falling away, hitting the three, and that's that. Now, that was an almighty punch. In fact, it put Melbourne on the canvas. And now we see if they can pick themselves up and they can get up and counterpunch. That's the beautiful part about this situation, is now we head towards game four.
So Derek Rucker said in the cooldown post game, you know, it ripped the guts out of Melbourne United. I think I know what he means in the sense that I don't necessarily think Derek's saying there's no chance that they come back from this, but that kind of loss, as you say, is just such a blow in that moment. It's going to take a special kind of resolve for them to pick themselves up and go, righto, we can sort of, as you say, try and box our way out of this situation.
Well, it's going to take a special team to win this championship. So we know the Jack Jumpers are that and have that, and let's see if they can close it out. Because as you know, and you've watched a lot of tennis over the years, it's very hard to serve out the match. And the champ, when it's very hard to hit that ace on championship point. So can they get that done at home? And it's going to take, you say, a special type of resolve from Melbourne United. That's the part about this I'm so excited about, is this is the first time they've lost two games all season. So haven't experienced this, being on a losing streak. And it's a very, very hard place to win down there. But if they're going to extend their series, their season, and their ability to win the championship, they're going to have to do that. So let's see what kind of resolve they have. Let's see what kind of Melbourne United they really are. And so cannot wait for Thursday night to get a sense for what kind of response Dean Vickerman and his guys bring for their fans.
Yeah, we knew that sort of, to, you know, obviously to win the championship, that the team that wins is in some way, shape or form most likely going to have to win in the opposition's building, which is no mean feat. Tassie have done it, and now the shoe's on the other foot to see if Melbourne can do it. You mentioned that you've watched the playback a few times now. I would imagine more than a few. What stood out for you watching it back when you sort of went through the replay and went through it in sort of some forensic detail?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was cool to hear Milton Doyle post-game talk through why he saved it. And he was like, I wasn't sure whether Shaunie Mack touched it or not. So I had the opportunity to get to it. So I wasn't going to leave it up to the refs. I was going to make the play. So that all of a sudden, that made total sense. Absolutely do that. And then, like I said, shout out Dunk Comp. Shout out Jed Toohey, my man. And the edits and the different angles that people have been able to put to the video. And like I said, I've just enjoyed watching Jack just in his element, you know, in his moment, the greatest moment of his life and his basketball career, just capture it and shake it for all it's worth. Without a doubt, Joel, it's the greatest shot in NBL history. Now, there have been other shots that have actually won the title. Peter Vidals in the first ever grand final in 1979. I mentioned Akine Bekwe and the shot that gave New Zealand the championship in 2016, I'm going to say, maybe 15, in the win over Scotty Wilbekin and that Cairns Taipans team. But, I mean, none of them were a pull-up from just beyond halfway to go ahead in the series. Like, this just was different. It was different in so many ways. And it's gone viral. It's making waves all around the world because I think without a shadow of a doubt, it's the greatest shot in league history.
Right. Without a shadow, it's a big call. A bit more than what Scott Roth said, which was, it's just another shot. I mean, so you're at one end of the spectrum here, Liam, and Scott Roth is completely at the other end. Well, I mean, what's he playing at, sort of playing it down to that extent?
Well, I don't need to coach the team. He does. So he's right. It will forever be an unbelievable shot, no matter what. If it leads to them winning the title, wow, then the way it goes down in the annals of the record books is something altogether different. If from here they go 0 for 2 the rest of the way and Melbourne hoists the trophy, then, I mean, it's not just another shot, but it's not quite the same. So he's right. And the message he's trying to give his guys is, we've got to get the job done. We haven't won the title yet. We've got to get one more win. So the Jack Jumpers, to their credit, have been the best in the league for a number of years now at next play mentality, and they've been able to stretch that out to next game mentality. They bounce back from losses really well, and they don't get too over the top when they win. So they're in a, you know, they're perfectly prepared to put that behind them and move on, but they haven't experienced anything like that before. They haven't experienced the high, even winning game 3 in Perth. Wasn't that kind of high. So it'll be a challenge to reset and refocus for game 4.
A little bit of chatter in the aftermath about a couple of plays during. So the potential flop call on Will Magnay and then maybe a foul on Chris Golding as part of that play. Of course, we saw earlier in the series, the Melbourne and Illawarra series with Gary Clark and Jolo Alachul, sort of, you know, similar inbound situation, Corgo not called. What have you made around the discussion around some of the refereeing in the aftermath, particularly the Magnay call and the Golding one on that final play?
Well, Magnay wasn't a flop. He copped a tech for it. It wasn't a flop. I was sitting right behind their bench. He was winded. I mean, he took a hard hit from Dele on that play in the middle of his chest. It took the breath out of him. Knocked him to the floor, yes. And he was sore on the bench for some time. So I think that was a rough call. And the Golding one, yeah, he was getting shoved out of bounds by Sean McDonald, and he copped an extra knock from Milton Doyle. But if you watch from the right angle, he also had a piece of John McDonald's jersey in his hand as well that he was holding on to. So that's what people say about the Joe Lawala, Chul foul, and Gary Clark. They say, well, they were holding each other. I'm okay in those big moments for that not to be called. I think that was a bit of feel for the game being shown by the officials in that moment. Now, Melbourne United fans will disagree with me. That's okay. But I'm okay with the no call there.
Yep. And if it had been on the other foot, then I'm sure the Tassie fans would have disagreed with you as well in that regard. So we go back to Tassie Thursday night, and all those fans from the island that travelled over to Melbourne United formed the big sort of guard of honour, I guess, if you like, out the front of the stadium. They'll all be there, 4,500 of them. They're making a fair case for being the best fan base in the NBL, aren't they, this Tassie team?
I think they are the best fans in the NBL, the Ant Army. It used to be the Red Army, and it's not anymore. The Jack Jumper fans are that because they're hungry for it. They're so passionately supporting their team. Now, that's not to say others do not. I will say this, though. I called a lot of that semi-final series, Tassie versus Perth, and I was super excited to get over to RSC Arena and experience that atmosphere. And I understand the tickets and the ticket tech and whatever it was in game three that impacted, but I don't know, I was a little underwhelmed by the atmosphere. It wasn't electric. I tell you, game two down in Tassie blew my head off, and we've seen what that's been like during this championship series because they haven't experienced championship success just yet. They desperately want it, and they want to prove to everybody on the mainland what they can get done down there on the quote-unquote little island. So they're so passionately supporting their team. I think right now they're the best fans in the NBL.
They're doing a great job. And you go down to that stadium, and I had the pleasure of being there for that seeding qualifier earlier in the playoff series as well. And, I mean, they feel like they're on top of you in that stadium. Partly that's because in our commentary seats, there's no room to move. You've got no room to scoot your chair backward. Everyone's piled in along the score bench there. We're right next to the bench. You're so close to the action, but then you turn around and you look behind you and sort of, yeah, everything just goes up and everything feels on top of you. It's a really intimidating place to play.
And that's what Melbourne United are going to experience in game four. How do they handle that moment? Because I don't think they've been handling these moments terrifically well. They've been complaining about the reffing too much. They've been twirling their finger too much, looking over at Dean Vickerman and saying, challenge this and challenge that. They've got to refocus, put all of that behind, huddle up, communicate, and get this job done to extend this series. So it's going to be a cauldron-like atmosphere that's going to make all that very tough. Huge advantage to the Jack Jumpers. Damon Lowry said it's worth 12 points a month or so ago. Melbourne United are going to need to overcome that to extend the series to a decisive game five.
Is it just starting to break right for Tassie? I mean, Crawford's found some form again. You know, you could argue that the sort of the final play of the game goes their way in game three. It's far from inevitable. But is there a sense that this is just heading in the direction of the Jack Jumpers as we go to game four? Or, you know, do you think Melbourne have got a really solid last push in them?
Absolutely they do. I mean, of course, it feels like it's going that way because they're up 2-1 and they've got game four at home and they just hit an enormous shot and they've got incredible momentum. So for sure, all of those things. But Melbourne, I think, have been the better team for a large chunk of this series. They won game one. They were up double digits in that game two. And they were leading. and it took that miraculous shot to beat them in that last couple of seconds. So, and they were leading most of game three. They just haven't been as good in the big moments as Tassie have over the course of the series as a whole. So they should take confidence from the fact that they've been pretty solid most of the way. They need to make some adjustments, and then they need to come out and do everything they can to get back to home, their home court.
It's just going to be such a build up to Thursday, coming off what we've witnessed, and then, of course, we get to get into it. You get another chance to be part of the build up. Of course, NBL Overtime tonight, 7:30. You can catch that, of course, through the NBL app. You can find it there, of course, on ESPN as well. So you get no shortage of opportunities to talk about this one in the build-up, Liam. We're 2 days away. I can't wait. I just cannot wait to see how this all pans out and whether there's another twist in this tale.
Oh, there will be. There will be. It's been epic so far, and I think it's just going to – I was going to say it's going to go to another level. I don't think it can go to another level beyond – what we saw at the end of game three, but just when you think you've got things worked out in this league, it twists and turns in another direction.
Absolutely it does. Absolutely it does. Thanks for your company this morning. Look forward to seeing and hearing more of your thoughts on how it all unfold over the course of the week.
Cheers, man.
Liam Santamaria, the voice of reason, the GM of the people, joining us on a Tuesday morning. Great to have your company as well on NBL. Now stay tuned to the NBL app, nbl.com.au, for all the build-up to Game 4 of the Championship Series.